Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And that's found on page 983, Matthew 22, entitled The Parable of the Wedding Feast. So we're going to be reading the first 14 verses here. Again, Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 1. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing to it. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this parable together this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week many of our young people went to prom, and I suspect that the young people that went to prom did significant preparation. In order to attend a prom or to attend a wedding for that matter, two things need to happen. First of all, you need to be invited. It would be quite strange to show up at someone's wedding reception without being invited, as it would be strange to show up to prom without being invited. And the second thing is that you need to be prepared. You need to be dressed properly. You need to have the proper attire. So it is today that we're going to see that with this parable, we have the wedding feast presented to us. The title of this sermon will ask us a similar question. Are you prepared for the parable of the wedding feast? Are you prepared for attending? The wedding supper of the Lamb is here presented to us, that feast where Jesus Christ will be celebrated in his wedding to the bride, the church, and the Father is throwing this grand feast to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. The invitations have been sent out, and people are being called. They're being invited. But in order to enter into that wedding feast, you have to have the proper attire. When Jesus was telling this particular parable in Matthew chapter 22, he was in the middle of a growing conflict, hostility between him and the rulers of the Israelites. Particularly the scribes and Pharisees and city elders are rejecting him. That's in chapter 21, verse 23. They challenge Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things? By what authority are you performing these miracles? By what authority are you entering Jerusalem? By what authority are you throwing out the money changers in the temple? By what grounds do you have to do all these things?" Jesus then responds by asking a question. "By what authority did John the Baptist come? Can you answer this question? How did John the Baptist have the authority to do and say the things that he did?" They couldn't answer, or they refused to answer. "So it is," Jesus said, "I will not tell you by what authority I do these things, because you do not have eyes to see. You refuse to hear. This particular parable is told in the context of hostility, and it is told to critique the indifference of God's people, of these rulers who are hearing and listening to Jesus day after day, and yet their hearts are hard. They refuse to humble themselves. Many who were invited were happy to have their ears tickled. They like the idea of listening to Jesus, but they refuse to obey the summons. In this parable, we are going to find that there are two distinct group of people who are invited to the wedding feast. Now, in order to understand this parable, we have to remember a little bit of the context. In this particular time when the king of the land was going to be throwing a great feast or a wedding feast for his son, it was a huge event. It was a national celebration, and in order to be invited, simply being invited was a great honor. Before the wedding would take place, the king would send out his servants to his friends and families and say, "My son is getting married, and you are invited. But the wedding is not yet. I want you to be prepared. The wedding is soon. You need to be ready." So after the king would send out the invitation, he would command his servants to go, and they would begin the preparation, gathering all the food, gathering all the meat that was to be gathered. It was a huge event. The table would be set. The day would arrive, and the feast would begin. And then the king would send out his servants, his messengers again. "The feast is now ready. It's today. Come, for the feast is prepared." So our passage begins with a ruling king sending out his servants, his messengers, to those who have already been invited. They knew the wedding was coming. How will his servants be received? How will the invite be responded to? Well, today we're going to consider this theme. Jesus Christ both calls and prepares his people to attend the wedding feast. And as this parable progresses, we note this significant fact. There is plenty of space at the feast. There is lots of room in the king's kingdom. There are many seats at the table. It is not just a few, it is a great number, and the king delights to see these seats filled. In other words, our God wants his house full. It is his desire and delight to see people gathered into his kingdom to give him the glory, but also to participate in the feast. It is for the good of those invited to come. If you refuse the summon, you are missing out on the feast. So we see again the theme. Jesus Christ calls and prepares his people to attend the wedding feast. Now, who is this first group of people that were invited? The first group of people that had received a message and invite weeks and months in advance. Well, this first group of people who were invited were the 12 tribes that invitation had been sent out to, the Jewish people invited to the marriage feast, starting particularly with Abraham and his descendants, codified with the law at Sinai, the people who had heard that invitation, to those whom it had been given, the law, the commandments, the signs, the prophets. However, as time unfolds and year follows upon year, the king continues to send out invitations. The time is coming. The time is at hand. Prepare for the wedding supper. It's coming near. Yet as verse 5 and 6 states, as the king continues to send out these messengers, these prophets who called the Israelites, the people of God, to get ready for the feast, to respond to the summons, to come when the wedding arrived, they were met with indifference. Many said, "I have better things to do. I'm getting married. I want to go on my honeymoon. I've just purchased some oxen. I have a new car or a new tractor I need to figure out. I have a business that I need to run. The things of this world are more pressing than the invitation from the King. So there's an indifference. But there is also a hostility. Not only do some simply ignore the call, some beat up the messenger and even kill the final messenger. They refuse, they despise, they reject, and they will not come. Now, to be clear, these messengers that God has sent out, these are the prophets of old, culminating in John the Baptist, who said this, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," and then Jesus, "The kingdom of heaven is in your midst." Basically, John the Baptist said, "The wedding is tomorrow. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus says, "The kingdom is now. The wedding is today." And how do they respond? I'm not really interested. I've better things to do. This joyous invitation is met with hate and spite. Verse 5 says they did not want to come. It's not like they didn't know that the wedding date was at hand. They've been reminded constantly. They simply would not come because they did not care. They have lots of excuses. But as verse 5 says, they paid no attention. They have lots of other things that are more important and more pressing than entering into the kingdom and participating in the wedding. And some would even kill the messengers, rejecting as with Jeremiah, killing as they would with Jesus Christ, who is soon to be crucified. Because of hardness of heart, they refuse to accept, they refuse to respond, they refuse to obey. And Psalm 2 is fulfilled. Kiss the Son, lest you be terrified by his wrath. Those who refuse to respond to the summons to enter into the kingdom, those who refuse to come when the wedding day arrives, are met with judgment and justice. Verse 7. Any rejection of the Lord's invitation is foolish. And what happens with the Israelite people? Verse 7, the king sends out his soldiers and they destroy those wicked rebels. That's 70 AD. Jerusalem, the temple, burned. Millions of Jews put to death. Because they rejected the call, they were punished with a sword. So again, as we've been seeing, the parables that Jesus is saying here are descriptive. Jesus is describing what's going on. Jesus is saying, he's describing what's happening right then. The Jews are rejecting the invite. They are dishonoring the king and his son. They're refusing to come in and celebrate, and thus the king is going to destroy them. He's going to take away the light. But brothers and sisters, someone has to celebrate this. Every king needs loyal subjects. It would be a dishonor and a disservice to the son on his wedding day to enter into the reception and it be empty. Someone has to celebrate. So the king sends out more messengers. Verse 9. Instead of going to the nation of Israel, these messengers are told to go to the highways and to the byways, go into the interstates, go into the hedges, go wherever there are people just standing around. Go into the surrounding area, going to the nations, and call these to come. And this brothers and sisters, what made the Jewish people so angry is, although Jesus Christ and the prophets were first sent to the Jewish people, they rejected, but tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes were coming in. The common folk, even the Gentiles, held Jesus as a prophet. That's chapter 21, verse 46. Although the Jewish leaders, the highfalutin members of society, rejected the king and his summons, you have the riffraff, the common folk, who are responding. And they're coming in. The king turns his focus away from the Israelites and turns his focus to the nations. And the call goes to them. Interestingly, Jesus says both the good and bad. The call to enter into the kingdom of God is not just for people who are from a two-parent stable home, who have a good middle-class job. It's for the bad people of society. It's for the prostitutes. It's for the drug addicts. The gospel is for the people that we would call the scum of society. The gospel is for them too. They too need to hear it. So by the end of his life in John chapter 12, after the rejection of the Israelites, you have the Greeks that come in and say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." You have the Greeks being brought in. And earlier we read from Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 is one of those transition points in the book of Acts. Paul and the apostles were sent first to the people of Israel, to the tribes of God's people. And they rejected. Growing hostility. So what does Paul say in Acts 13, verse 46? "It was necessary that we first preach the word of you Jews. The word was to you Israelites, but since you rejected it, we are now turning and going to the Gentiles." How do the Gentiles respond? "Praise God, I'm invited to the wedding. I am summoned in." And since most of us here today are coming from Gentile background, praise God that Pentecost happened. That the summons, the invite, is for you and for me. We are now invited. The people from the nations, summoned to come. Why are they summoned to come? Well, for two reasons. One, the Jewish people rejected. And two, the king wants his reception hall full. He wants people to come in. Here again, Jesus is telling us what's happening today. Let it be known, you who are sitting here today are summoned by the king. Come in. The wedding day has arrived. Welcome. There's a seat for you at the table. Rejoice that Jesus Christ is the king's son and the wedding day has come. Honor him by accepting the invitation and entering into the hall. Well, now that the wedding hall has been filled, the wedding feast begins, and the king goes out to inspect those who have been summoned in. And upon inspection, we find that not everything is as it should be. Not everything is as it should seem. Going back to our illustration earlier with prom, imagine that one of our high schoolers show up to prom and there is a man sitting there who looks like he just came off the street. Two questions would probably be asked. Is this guy invited? Should he be here? And if he has been invited, why isn't he wearing the proper attire? I mean, you don't show up to prom in the same clothes that you wore when you were changing a flat tire or mowing the lawn. Who is this guy? Did he just wander in from the street? So it is, at the wedding feast, those who are invited must necessarily be dressed for that occasion. So in verse 12, the king finds someone who is not dressed for the wedding. Now, we have to keep this particular context in our minds. What would happen is because the wedding day was that day, people who are just walking by on the street are told, are grabbed by the arm and almost drug into the wedding. Let's go. It's the wedding day and the king wants his feast celebrated by a ton of people. Well, they don't have time to go home to get their own special wedding attire. So what the king would do is he would give them the necessary clothes. They were handing out festive garments at the door. They were called and clothed for this event. But one guy doesn't have the right attire. What is shocking is that someone came in without being properly dressed. So the king asks in verse 12, "How did you get in here? How did you manage to get through the door and not get the proper attire?" The wedding garment was freely given, graciously offered. All you had to do was open the hand of faith and accept it. The work was already done. Why would you come trusting in your own works? Why would you refuse what I graciously give? So this man sneaks in the back, or he outright refuses to take what the king offers. He's not dressed properly. Rejecting what the king freely hands is a crime against the king and his son, as well as his people. Ephesians 2, salvation is a gift, free gift. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. So this rebellious hypocrite who refuses what the king graciously offers is rebuked, tied hand and foot, and cast out. Now, what then is this garment? What is the wedding garment? Well, the wedding garment would identify those who belong. It was a test of loyalty, if you will. Listen to these words from Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, "He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness." The robes of righteousness. What the wedding garment represents is the robe of righteousness that the Father graciously bestows on his people. That clothing is to be received by faith. It's not enough to be invited. You have to be clothed as well. The summons goes to all. Our confessions say that the gospel is to be promiscuously pronounced. For everyone is called, repent and believe, and you will be saved. Without distinction, without discrimination, the gospel is for everyone, the good, the bad, rich, poor, male, female, young, everyone needs to hear it. Repent and believe and you will be saved. The door is open. The feast is today. Come with me and celebrate the wedding of the Son. But if you come in, you have to repent and believe. You have to receive by faith what the Father graciously grants. So this is a warning for those who are gathered. Are you dressed for the wedding day? It is not enough to simply hear the summons. You have to respond by faith. There are pretenders in the church. There are people who come to church week after week because they like the benefits of being a part of a people of faith. They like the idea of being numbered among God's people without actually being clothed by the righteousness of Christ. It is not enough to simply sit in church. It is not enough to simply hear the call. You must heed the call with faith and repentance. Do not try to enter into the kingdom of heaven wearing your work clothes, wearing your own merit. If you show up at heaven's gates and try to say, "Look at what I did. Look at how I can dress myself in my own works." People like that, who try to get into heaven trusting in their own works, will be tied hand and foot and cast out, as verse 14 says, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus Christ comes back on the last day, there will be a lot of people who said, they'll say this to Jesus, "Lord, didn't I perform miracles in your name? Lord, didn't I attend a conservative Christian church? Lord, didn't I have believing parents and grandparents? Lord, didn't I send my kids to a Christian school? Lord, didn't I tithe faithfully? Lord, look at all that I've done." And Jesus will say to every one of them, "Away from me, I never knew you." It's sobering. There are people who think they are going to heaven and have not been dressed in the wedding attire. But there is good news, for today is the day of salvation. The door is still open. One day that door will be shut. But today is the day of salvation. That door is still open. You still have time to accept what the Father gives. Receiving Jesus Christ and his righteousness with a heart of faith. Indifference to the invite and refusal to accept the proper attire both disqualify you from entering the kingdom. It is only those who are invited and respond by faith will be welcomed in. For as our parable concludes, many are called, but few are chosen. That gospel call goes out to all without discrimination. Everyone is invited in. But only those who repent and believe receive the clothing that is necessary to participate. To conclude, our parable once again reveals the work of Jesus Christ in opening and closing. This is a work of driving a knife in the heart of God's people. It cuts both ways. Because of the rejection of the messengers, the rejection of Jesus Christ, the gospel is going to be taken from the Jews and brought to the Gentiles. From these nations, the house of God will be filled. But even today, the door remains open. There are still many seats that need to be filled. The external call goes out. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends and family need to hear what you and I need to hear. And when we hear that call, we must accept what the King freely grants. The call goes out today. The feast is spread. Come, fully relying on the works of Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ's righteousness. As Revelation 19 states, the marriage feast of the wedding is at hand. Jesus Christ calls and prepares his people for the wedding supper. And as you wait for that glorious day, may you rejoice in the privilege that you too have been called and by faith are prepared. Come to the feast. Partake with a heart of faith and rejoice in the blessings that Christ has secured for you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this stirring reminder as well as humbling critique, that there are many who are content to hear the call but never respond. We confess, O Lord, that there is an idleness in our own hearts as well, that upon hearing the summons, we ignore it. We're too preoccupied with the things of this world. Even today, our minds wander. We're thinking about what is ahead, what the next week holds, and our minds aren't even able to retain the call. So by your Spirit, O Lord, soften our hearts. May we receive the summons by faith, and we thank you for the sufficiency of Christ by which we are clothed and made fit to enter into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is 400.